Data centers are often thought of as power-hungry and incompatible with Europe's energy transition. However, there are technology solutions that can turn these power consumers into contributors to energy stability. AVK and Wärtsilä Energy recently released a research paper modeling various scenarios to power data centers, including renewables, batteries, and balancing engines, to confirm which configuration would be most cost-effective and sustainable. To learn more about the results, I spoke to Ben Pritchard, CEO of AVK, and Marlon Ostermann, Vice President, Strategy and Business Development at Wärtsilä Energy. This episode is brought to you in partnership with AVK, supplier of innovative power solutions for data centers and leading organizations across the UK and Europe. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Ben, Marlon, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about such a popular topic, which of course is data centers. And this is quite an interesting take on it because it's how data center microgrids can really accelerate Europe's energy transition, which might seem counterintuitive to our listeners, but stay tuned for this interesting discussion. Before we get into that, though, can I just ask that you briefly introduce yourselves and explain your role in shaping the collaboration between AVK and Wärtsilä? Ben, let's start with you.
Yeah, hi. I'm Ben Pritchard, CEO of AVK. So the relationship with Wärtsilä has been a long one for me personally. I started the journey with Wärtsilä probably 7 years ago when we started to look at we were building a lot of data centers that were using standby generation. And there are a lot of clients that didn't have grid connection. So we started to explore what sort of products could be used to actually operate prime power to get them over the hump for not having a grid connection. And we found Wärtsilä, and that was, 7 years ago. And we've been developing that relationship ever since. And it's been a long journey. You know, I think getting people to adopt a new way of thinking in the data center sector has been quite difficult, but we've got two very large projects on with Wärtsilä now, and our relationship's growing. So my role's changed significantly over the last 7 years, but still keep tabs with Wärtsilä because they're such an important partner to us and really important to the industry as well.
Marlon, a long and beautiful partnership indeed.
Absolutely. From my side, my name is Marlon Ostermann. I'm heading strategy and business development for Wärtsilä Energy. So that includes our strategy team, our power system modeling team, and a few other teams within Wärtsilä Energy. So where I got involved, and of course I knew that Wärtsilä and AVK had, you know, a long history collaborating together, but I actually remember it very well. So we met, Ben, if you recall, in London. I think it was end of last year. And, you know, we got talking then about the energy transition, you know, from a power strategy perspective and about data centers and how they're, you know, the challenges they have in procuring power. So we, of course, already had the AVK-Wärtsilä collaboration in place. But I remember that's when we also started discussing the idea of this research paper. And in Wärtsilä Energy, with our vision of going towards 100% renewables, you know, we have solutions that can contribute to the energy transition, you know, balance renewable power. And we started this discussion about the DC power space, data centers, and how you talked about renewable-based microgrids and also how important it is for data centers to give back to the grid. I think you had some discussions with a few of my colleagues before that, but I think that's when we also started discussing this idea about actually doing a dedicated modeling and looking what that could mean, and which resulted in this research paper.
I remember it well, actually, because it was actually an energy transition sort of event, wasn't it? And people were talking around very much UK energy transition. And we really touched on how, sort of from my side, where I see sort of the data center growth and where it's going. And then I sort of see everyone in the energy transition side talking around their strategy for energy transition, and the two really weren't linked. And that was that sort of driver of the topic. And like you say, Marlon, that's what really drove us to enter this paper, which is, it's really nice to see actually how, where we started, just a conversation around some people that we probably disagreed with a little bit around how simple energy transition was. And now we've got something that actually is tangible and finally relates to the data center sector, which is a massive player in the energy transition piece. So yeah, it's great.
That is actually a really beautiful story. And frankly, it just proves how important it is to break down these silos, have these conversations. And of course, this has now resulted in this research paper, which is really the topic of our conversation today, because the findings are quite interesting. But even before we delve into those, this is really a pressing and urgent issue. I mean, this is something that needs to be addressed. We have growing data centers, a growing need for power that urgently needs to be met. So the time is really now to be having these conversations. Marlon, your thoughts?
I think it's definitely a very topical question. I mean, we see the demand for power, for AI, for data centers really grow all over the world. Absolutely the same for Europe. You know, it's going to grow from eventually, some of the estimates vary a little bit, but grow from around 10 gigawatts today to 35 gigawatts in just a span of a few years by 2030. So that's a lot of growth. And in the context of Europe, you know, we haven't seen much growth in power demand in recent decades. So it really is in a way a kind of a change and a growth driver. The other thing that relates to that is, of course, also that we see the capacity constraints on the grid and the challenges there, and how a lot of data centers cannot get interconnections, as Ben was mentioning earlier. So, you know, we do need new solutions to tackle this, you know, from an energy transition perspective, from a kind of data center industry perspective, but I think also from an European sort of industrial perspective.
Ben, am I correct that this paper is really looking for practical solutions? It's not just about the timing of the paper, it's about actually providing something that's really tangible and practical that could help solve these challenges.
Yeah, for sure. It's twofold for me. I think, you know, there's a massive disconnect. You know, you sort of see people talk around two huge global issues that are linked but never spoken about together, be it energy transition and data centers. And you never see those, never the two ever actually meet and provide real logical explanation around how the two sort of issues actually firstly collide and are related. We talk about grid constraints for data centers, but that's grid constraints for electrifying the network, you know, moving people to electric vehicles, etc. So the world is looking at huge growth in demand around just the electrification of networks. And what we tried to do in this paper is really draw together the two problems, energy transition and data centers, and the sort of grid pressures that data centers are under, but then also give real practical views of what the technology choices are to start off with, what's out there and what's realistic to be built. You know, we see a lot of new technologies as well that are going to be the silver bullet yet to be delivered, but this is actually something that is deliverable now that can make effect now. And also then apply the sort of logic to a real practical sort of example to actually show how does that actually work, and how does that data center actually become a solution to one of the sort of globe's biggest sort of exam questions that we're trying to answer at the moment?
Ben, there might be people listening to this who are less familiar with what a microgrid solution looks like and the role of dispatchable power. Can you explain that to us in more detail and why this is so effective for data centers?
Yeah, so microgrid is sort of, a new term to the data center industry. I'm going to also let Marlon's view of a microgrid may differ to mine as well, because I live in a very data center-centric world. But essentially for me, it's multiple energy sources combined serving either one off-taker or multiple off-takers. So that might be gas engines with wind, with battery, that would form what constitutes to me a microgrid. What's super important and where data centers knit it together, I suppose, is that data centers have this huge demand for power. And by them building their own energy system that can then be linked into a grid at future scenarios where the grid is available, actually allows them to partake in the bigger grid, but become a really large supporting factor when we look at things like wind and solar, where that everyone knows that when the wind isn't blowing, when the sun isn't shining, that sort of famous statement that everyone makes, there needs to be something. Data centers can play a huge part in giving access to hundreds of megawatts of power that they've built as their microgrid, and actually start dispatching that to the grid and underpinning those renewables.
Wallen, do you have a similar definition?
I do have a very, very similar definition. So I agree very much with you, Ben, that kind of microgrids are sort of small scale power grids that operate independently and generate electricity for a specific purpose or for a localized area. And that, you know, they basically combine or often combine different forms of generation, for example, renewables then with grid balancing engines or so on. I think there's a couple of interesting things perhaps to note for the audience, though, is that this sort of small scale power and the size of them, of course, can vary a lot. And the term microgrid, perhaps outside the data center use case, is used quite widely. So sometimes, for example, that's being used to describe a sort of like kilowatt scale, really, really small off-grid installations that might power a rural village or something, you know, for example, only renewables and batteries. And that's sometimes referred to as a microgrid. And of course it is. And then you can also have larger islanded grids that just basically are isolated and you know, don't have a larger power system in a way to draw on. But I think for this research paper, and here we've modeled an 80 megawatt sort of data center microgrid, but it could be larger than that. It could, of course, be sort of several hundred megawatts as well. But I'd say it's just perhaps good to note that's, you know, when we talk about data centers and when we talk about this particular research paper, I guess we're moving somewhere in the size range here of like 50 megawatts up to several hundred megawatts that could be possible.
Marlon, I'm going to stay with you because it would be interesting to understand how you modeled the various energy mixes and scenarios to come up with the fact that the microgrid solution is actually where it's at. Can you talk us through some of those modelings or scenario comparisons?
Absolutely. And for context here, we had prior to this research paper in Wärtsilä, we had actually released a report that we call Crossroads to Net Zero, where we had essentially looked at what if the whole world was one power grid and what would the energy transition or the sort of potential transition paths looks like if we'd aggregate the whole world into one grid. And that yielded some interesting results. So I can also kind of recommend the audience to take a look at that report. And we also reference part of it in this research paper. But what we decided to do with AVK, and now specifically for the sort of data center use case, is almost to go in the opposite direction and say, okay, then what if we have, instead of taking the whole world, we now take a microgrid, we take a data center, and what if they would need to supply all of their power just from independent sources, not grid connected? What's the optimal mix of different technologies, of different capacities to make that happen? So we had different scenarios. We compared an option that included only renewables and batteries, so wind and battery energy storage. We had a scenario looking at engines and batteries. Then we also had a solution looking at combined cycle gas turbines and batteries. So another gas-based technology combined with battery storage. And then as a fourth option, which I think is the one that we're mainly talking about here today, we looked at a combination of renewable power with engines and with batteries. And it was quite interesting to see the kind of key findings and how those different microgrids varied in terms of both cost, the capacity needed to fulfill the kind of demand coming from the data center, but also emissions profile.
Marlon, thank you for explaining that to us. So based on the findings from the various modeling, then what is the superior configuration here?
Obviously, through the modeling, it shows to Marlon's point, really, really interesting base level figures around solutions. And it turns out that obviously the wind also renewables with on-site generation and battery storage is the superior. And that's super interesting because when it just shows that sort of challenge that the market has ahead of it, that it is not one size fits all. It's a blended sort of solution that has to address that both the need for the data center power, but also that transition piece. And that was something that I think is super powerful and also a bit of a surprise. You know, like when you think about energy transition, a lot of people think, well, renewables, batteries, that's what it's got to be, you know. But then when you start to actually unpack that and look at the figures, you actually see that there's an alternate route that makes significant sense.
Yes, I think you raised some really good points then. So I just want to sort of build on that, because I think that's a misconception that's quite often out there when it comes to the energy transition, where sometimes it's easier to simplify and go for a very black and white solutions. But what we see throughout our modeling, and which I think is very visible also in the results of this research paper, that for sustainability, we do need to assess different things. We need to assess, you know, the kind of land use and the total cost, and of course, just how much resources is needed for different combinations of capacities and technologies to deliver a microgrid. And of course, in this case, what we saw that the renewables and batteries only require a lot of overcapacity. And the fact is that if you blend that with a bit of balancing engines, you don't necessarily need to run the engines all that much. So the gas use can be rather limited. But by doing that, you're really creating an optimized overall power system that has overall very low emissions, but also has the most competitive costs. So I think this is sort of underutilized, a bit underrealized opportunity in the energy sector. And definitely, you know, in sort of if we speak about data centers.
Very good point, Marlon. And I think this brings us to one of the key points of today's conversation, which is really that data centers can be turned from really power consumers to be able to contribute to energy stability if there was the right dispatchable power solution being deployed. Am I correct in understanding that this is actually possible, that data centers, even though they have been turned into quite the villain, could be quite the contributor? And I'd like both of you to weigh in on this, please. Perhaps, Ben, we can start with you.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's probably one of my biggest fears. You know, I think the data center industry is such a great industry to be part of, you know, when you're in it, because you are defining sort of, or in a defining moment in society, right? The use of AI, you know, it affects everyone around the world. Well, what sometimes really scares me is the direction of and the narrative that data centers come under sometimes, you know, around that sort of villainized piece, big power sort of hungry buildings. And the grid constraints that we see now actually give us this inflection point to allow data centers to think a little bit differently about how they're addressing their power requirements. We've seen obviously a massive focus across Europe in renewables, but we see a lot of negative news as well around renewables, transmission, etc., curtailment and stuff like that. And that's where, when we look at the solution that we're defining in the paper, we start to see that data centers as a massive user of power, building hundreds of megawatts or having hundreds of megawatts of requirements, should I say, actually building microgrids and jet generation plants to firstly, yeah, absolutely allow them to build their data center. But then when there is a grid connection that could have renewables or just a general grid connection, you know, they can start supporting that network and actually playing into a massive role in the infrastructure for the local grid. There's no other industry at the moment that has that power consumption that can actually invest that much in that infrastructure and be able to make it available and underpin renewables. You know, so I think it's a huge turning point in the market, and we're seeing it a lot now. We're seeing more and more. We're building some of the first, if not the first, microgrids in Europe now with Wärtsilä. You know, and they've been built as islanded solutions to get over the fact of a data center not having a grid connection, right? So the technology's there, it's been proven. The next step is how do you actually utilize that microgrid and that generational plant to benefit the energy transition and society? And that's what this sort of paper, I suppose, uncovers. And I suppose that's my sort of, I suppose, dream's probably a strong word because I don't necessarily always dream about data centers, but it's a want for me to really allow data centers to change their sort of optics and the perception of data centers by using sort of forward thinking sort of solutions and using this as the changing point that they really need and understanding how important it is.
Marlon, do you believe that this is indeed a turning point? That not just with regards to your research paper and the findings thereof, but perhaps, you know, just changing your mindset around the role of data centers in Europe's energy transition?
Absolutely. And I agree a lot with you, Ben. And I think that AI and data centers are going to be instrumental to some of the sort of technology leaps and just leaps that we'll be able to do as a society in the coming decades. So this is something we need, and we need to power that. I mean, and if we look historically, industrial revolutions or these sort of big changes, these big leaps have always tended to come with an increase in energy demand or an increase in power demand. And I think that's what we see now. We see electrification. We see, of course, a lot of other drivers of electricity demand as well. And data centers is one. But also a lot of sort of narratives that basically this is going to be very challenging from an energy transition perspective, or, you know, all this new demand is essentially going to be additive. And even if we add renewables, we're still going to need all the fossil fuels. So there's also, I think, a lot of kind of this a bit deterministic thinking, perhaps, or this view that perhaps we're not going to be able to do it in a sustainable way. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree that it necessarily all has to be additive. I think there's a lot more potential we can unlock from renewable energy overall to help power these future needs, AI, data centers, electrification. But we need to figure out how to do that in a way that keeps our grids reliable and affordable. We need to basically come up with the right combination of technologies. And I think that's demonstrated in this research paper, but that sort of holds true overall as well, that if we combined renewables with the right balancing technologies, we can really sort of solve this problem and do it in a way that ultimately works out, both from the perspective of the energy transition, but also from the perspective of industry and kind of the new technological leaps and demands that we have for power.
So what is next for AVK and Wärtsilä in terms of, obviously, the research paper, but even beyond that, in terms of the broader partnership? Marlon, let's continue with you.
So I think some takeaways here, of course, you know, looking forward to continue working with AVK to power data centers across Europe. But I also just want to take a look at, okay, you know, what should people perhaps take away from this research paper? And I think it depends a bit now, who do we talk about? If we take, for example, policymakers, if we take the full grid perspective, because I think there's a kind of lesson in here for that as well. And it's important to understand and optimize the entire power system when making decisions. And when you sort of take and look at a microgrid, essentially, we got the same results here as we did when we modeled the entire world in our other report. It is a bit simplified. It's, of course, not quite that simple in real life. But at least one key learning there is that it's really important to look at the entire power system and to make sure that we have the sufficient flexibility in the system to integrate intermittent renewables and enable this transition to a renewable-based power system. But if we then look at data centers, investors and operators, which of course we serve with this collaboration, you know, from Wärtsilä and from AVK, I would really urge them to kind of think beyond just a microgrid or bridge power that they need today. If it's not possible to get a grid interconnection, you know, to consider the advantages of combining renewable power with flexible balancing power. And I think as Ben, as you talked a lot about here earlier, you know, this is a way to provide value not only to your own business then, but also later on, if you can connect your data center to the grid later on, then this microgrid is essentially, you know, reusable both as backup power for the data center, but also really as a support to the grid through power, through reserves, through ancillary services, through balancing. So it's a way to give back to the grid and also a way to enable and support the overall transition of our power systems.
Indeed. And it's fair to say that your research findings could actually be used to really broaden the thinking and mindsets, perhaps of various stakeholders within the energy transition.
Yeah, and I think following on from Marlin, really, you know, what's next, you ask, I suppose, is the education piece. You know, like it's a real education to the DC market on what the possible is. You know, both ABK and Wärtsilä are in a really fortunate position that we're sort of pioneering the space for microgrids. You know, like we've got two microgrids that we're building in Europe. Over 200 megawatts of capacity installed. There's not many other delivery partners, be it AVK and Wärtsilä or any others, that have had that exposure and had that sort of understanding of what it takes to build something like that for a data center. So to Marlon's point, those were very much built for microgrids or for being just supplied for the data center. I suppose what's next is how do we then apply the technology that we've deployed and the solution that we've deployed and make that grid interactive and really start to see the benefits of the paper. So yeah, the big bit for me is education and sort of leading talks like this, really, to allow people to really see what the solution can bring, that it isn't just a bridge solution, you know, to get over the 5 years until you get a grid connection. The actual power that when you get a grid connection and you can get direct renewables to site, you know, the power of what that asset can actually bring, not only the data center itself, but also actually the part it plays in sort of the global electrification to net zero, I suppose.
It's very clear to me that both of you are so invested, not only in the research, but in the outcomes and in effecting change that is sustainable. And Ben, you know, you mentioned earlier that you don't always dream about data centers. Fair enough. What do you dream about? What drives you and keeps you so invested in this work?
I think I'm sort of lucky enough to be in an industry that is actually changing or part of a changing society. You know, you look at how data shapes the world now, people will look back at this sort of era around sort of the AI sort of revolution piece, and that'll be a really interesting part of history, right? We're living it, and I'm sort of super aware and conscious that we're so lucky to be in this space, and I think driving that change is really important for us as a business. You know, I think we're also a business that doesn't necessarily build anything. We work with great partners like Wärtsilä. So we have our biggest focus is how do we actually drive change and deliver great solutions? And that's felt across the whole business at AVK. And you know, it's just super exciting, and drives us all, I think, and the belief that we're sort of rewriting a playbook on that no one's ever really understood yet. No one's ever really built data centers at this scale. No one really understands the use case of AI and where it's going to be in the next 5 to 10 years, and just playing a small part in that is just extremely motivating, I suppose.
Marlon, I'd like to ask you the same question. What do you dream about, and what keeps you so motivated and enthused? Because I really noticed that you're quite the optimist about the work that you do and the results that are clearly achievable.
I suppose I am an optimist. I do think that, you know, kind of over time, that's actually the way to kind of achieve results and get impact. You have to believe that it's possible, while of course, you know, still try to have a kind of clear-eyed view of the situation you're in. But no, I mean, for my part, being in the energy industry or energy and power, I think that's the most exciting industry to be in at the moment. You know, from my perspective, so I find that really, really motivating, because there's such opportunities to solve the challenges of the world, you know, to have real impact. But of course, there are also really sizable challenges, and we shouldn't forget that fact. There's a lot of things that we need to kind of unlock and so on. So, but I find that so, like, very rewarding, very interesting to work with that, and perhaps to try to bring this sense of systems thinking and the approach that we take also in how we even frame the problems to start with, you know, is really important. And what we see through modeling like this and also others is that if you look at that really from a holistic perspective, there are solutions and there's way to tackle the sizable problems, but you just need to take a very holistic perspective and then kind of look at the roadmap also to get there. I think sometimes we make the mistake when thinking about the energy transition that we want to jump straight to year 2050 or beyond and kind of solve the problems that exist then. I think it's actually much more pragmatic if we start looking now at the next 5 years, the next 10 years, you know, how do we really drive this transition forward? How do we find solutions for data centers now that combine renewables with balancing and build a power system that has the scalability behind it, but still moving towards a vision that's going to be long-term sustainable? So yeah, those are a few things that really give me, you know, kind of keeps me interested, keeps me motivated, keeps me excited in this work.
Well, I can tell it has been a pleasure to speak to you both about this topic. And I think, you know, it's through research like the research that you have done together, where we are really taking positive steps forward to driving that systems thinking and to actually affecting sustainable change. So thank you very much for sharing more insights, Ben and Marlon. It's really been a pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.